Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Max and Sam Marcham, their mother and son, both psychotherapists who specialise in psychosexual issues and who are both school counsellors. They co-wrote the book Porn Bomb after becoming concerned by the volume of young males seeking therapy in their private practice due to problems stemming from watching pornography. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
It's lovely to have you both. So this is a really interesting and concerning issue. It seems that more and more people are watching pornography from an increasingly younger age. I remember when I was young and people used to have like catalogues with women in underwear and stuff and that hidden under the bed, and that was like a something that people used to, or youngsters used to do. But now, of course, it's so easy to get hold of pornography, which is really scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with changing times and as more technology comes out and, well, more people have access to technology too, suddenly anyone really with any sort of device can get their hands on any sort of inappropriate content. And unfortunately, as we're seeing, that age is becoming younger and younger, you know, in some schools, as young as primary schools, in fact, for some. And what we've both noticed from both working various schools across the UK is issues to do with porn compulsion, that is, are getting more and more each time. Now, some people it's, you know, related to specific types, some even more dangerous types, and sometimes go into illegal categories too.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're young, you're really impressionable and you don't really understand what you're watching, you know, and I think youngsters are watching porn before they really understand about sex and relationships. They might be watching it before they've even kissed someone, and it must be really confusing to understand what they're watching.
Yeah, and what's happening is kids are learning about sex from porn, which clearly is not healthy. And the average 15-year-old now will see more naked women per week than their grandfathers saw in their lifetime, to
wow.
sort of put it into perspective.
Gosh, yeah. That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that parents should be doing? I mean, the whole worry of kids being online at all, obviously things have changed in the UK with under 16s on social media. We don't yet know how effective that's going to be or not. What kind of things can parents be doing?
Yeah, so I hosted a training course the other day for some therapists to say what to look out for. And I said to them, whether you're therapists or whether you're parents, the advice is the same. Don't think, is there a problem with porn, or wait till they bring it up. Say to them, how is your porn usage? Assume that they are watching it, because it would be very, very unusual if they're not. Even if a child doesn't look for porn, and they often do it to fit in with their peers, if everyone's talking about a TV show, they'll watch the TV show. If everyone's talking about porn, they'll look for the porn. But even when they don't look, it will find them.
Mm-hmm. I think as well, what's commonly quite happening nowadays is that a lot of people see it and panic, as quite normally and can be expected, and sometimes, and try and shut it all off. You know, it becomes a very taboo topic, shouldn't talk about it, shouldn't acknowledge it. But many young people nowadays, they're not acknowledging it for the wrong reasons. Some of it, natural body functions, trying to happen, and of course are finding the wrong place to learn and understand. So a healthy psychoeducation is so prominent nowadays, and quite often in households it is being not acknowledged enough.
Yeah, I suppose a lot of parents are embarrassed to discuss it with their kids. So the easiest thing when you're embarrassed is to not talk about it. But if it's something that you might be worried about, the subject does need to be talked about. And just explaining to kids that it's not a normal relationship, it's not healthy, that's not what normally happens between a consensual, loving couple, and making sure they know and understand that, it has to be said.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is part of the reason why we co-wrote the book Porn Bomb, actually. And because so many nowadays, there's a lot of psychological studies out there and whatnot around the topic of pornography, albeit quite a new one for the field. But they're all very technical, shall we say, or wrote for other psychotherapists. Our book kind of focuses more and more, could the average reader understand it? Is it stuff that people can relate to and understand how really porn is, as I call it, a dysfunction with a function? You know, no one's doing it or watching it to be inherently evil. It's actually become a way that people have used to regulate, because it's something they can use to get that dopamine kick, to sort of feel better about whatever's going on in life for that short amount of time that they're watching it, almost acting like an escape in that way.
Yeah. It's difficult to sort of find the line. I mean, obviously, when we're talking youngsters, that's when it's a problem. But I suppose for a lot of people to understand if, when and why they're doing something wrong. That's the weird, because if everybody's talking about it and everybody's doing it, and it's, I mean, I know it is illegal, but at the same time, when it's normalised, it's very easy to think, well, there's no harm. I'm not harming anyone. I'm not doing anything wrong. So at what point should either the person who's consuming it or the parents be worried?
Yeah, parents should be very, very worried anyway. Because what the kids are seeing, what it's leading to, is very damaging. And the problem is that if parents are embarrassed to talk about it, imagine what it's like for the young lad, if it's a boy they're talking about, you know, because that involves talking to your mother or your father about something that involves masturbation. So, of course, any parent, if they try to bring it up, they will be closed down immediately by their child, like, oh, shut up, or I'm not doing it. And they'll run away and shut their bedroom door.
Yeah.
So we wrote the book so that people can just leave it in their bedroom. Don't say a word, leave it, because curiosity, they will look at it. And when they read the book, what they'll see is that there are a lot of case studies in there of real life kids like them, and they will relate to one of them. And it shows you what happened to them when they carried on, but sort of, and how it's sort of a self-help book as well, what they can do about it. And there's a quiz in there to see if they have a problem and they can work it out themselves and see what to do.
Yeah, I think a term for parents really that I always quite like is a concern without criticism. You know, obviously these are quite serious topics we're discussing and things that do need to have concern around them. But naturally, again, it's young people that are doing what quite often a lot of their other friends are, what other people they know are. And because of that, they're going to, if they're being criticized, if they're being shamed, if you will, well, shame makes us shut off completely. It's going to make them shut off from the topic even more, yeah. Ignore the problem. But again, we don't beat problems by avoidance sometimes. It's by not acknowledging it, sometimes it doesn't get resolved.
Yeah. Yeah, the right language that the parents use is really important, isn't it? Because you don't want to be making the situation worse. And I guess that could be so easy to do if you're saying it in the wrong way or shaming your child. Like you said, that's not the way to do it.
Yeah, and actually, the children are already, when they come to me in the therapy room, they've already got shame as it is, because they'll look at something before they understand it. And sometimes it will be against their morals, or they will think, this isn't quite right. Kids are now sharing porn like they share jokes and memes. And often it involves animals, it often involves other children. It's getting worse and worse. But the kids think it's normal because everybody does it. But yet they sort of often feel shame that this isn't right. They know it's not right, or they don't feel comfortable, but they think all the other kids are enjoying it. So they think they have to do the things in porn. They're under pressure from their peers. Like, you know, there's trends on sexual acts. It's not like the olden days where they'd be happy if they managed to have sex. Now it's like a menu of sex in porn that they think they have to go through every single act. So I'm seeing young people doing very extreme fetishes because they believe that's what they need to do, to be cool, to fit in, to be manly, to be an adult, to be grown up.
Yeah. It's awful. There's so many layers to that, isn't it? You know, to be sex should be between the two people that it's involved in and should have nothing to do with anybody else in terms of, oh, guess what I've done or guess what I'm going to do. And obviously making really sure that the two people that are doing whatever they are doing are really happy to be doing that. And they're doing it for the right reasons. They're discussing it together. They're saying, shall we try this? And it's something that they want to do as a couple, as opposed to feeling this is something that we need to do.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you've hit it right on the head there in terms of it should be two people engaging on what each other's needs are, communicating, understanding that healthy and secure level of space between them, as opposed to, you know, what porn causes nowadays, which means sex isn't just about the enjoyment or the arousal or the connection to another person. It's about how do I use to symptoms of masturbation? How do I use this to regulate stress? And it associates your body's sexual functions with that stress relief, which means chasing more dopamine, hence more, you know, sort of, well, kinks, fetishes. That's where all of that comes in, because it's chasing more and more of that dopamine kick.
Mm. So what are the, obviously everybody's different, but what are the typical lads coming to you for then? Why are they coming to you? What do they think their issues are?
Yeah. So I either get sort of lads, well, I get a lot of adults and grown-up people as well. In marriages come because there's an issue or the wife's found something. But generally with young people, I get a lot of people university age, and the brain is developing up until 25. So if a kid has started watching porn at 12, that's 13 years of having their brain rewired to believe that porn is the go-to. So it's like a craving if they're bored, if they're lonely, if they feel rejected, if they're stressed. If they're angry, they will go and automatically use porn to regulate or to relieve boredom. And so they come to me when they're at university age and they suddenly realise that they're getting into their first relationship and they either can't stop or they get something called PIED, P-I-E-D. Young lads now in their 20s are getting porn-induced erectile dysfunction because the high dopamine they get from porn means that a person in the flesh with them just doesn't do it for them.
Wow, that's scary, isn't it? My goodness. Okay. And what about youngsters? Have you got younger lads coming to you, or is that not happening yet?
Yeah. So I literally this week had to train. I didn't have to train. I chose to do the training for working with sexual offenders. Now, people would say to me, why, you're a child therapist, why would you want to work with sexual offenders? And the reason is because now sexual abuse against children is now mainly committed more than, well, the NSPCC say it's over 50% by other children. From what I see in my practice, I believe it's far higher. So children are now abusing children. So they're not sort of developed enough, worldly wise enough to understand that what they see is not what's normal and what's expected. So videos will be like, hey, look at your sexy stepmother, your sexy stepsister. You were getting people who are looking at porn, thinking they either getting turned on before they're ready to understand it or because of just, you know, needs. And they're thinking, who can I do this with? And so many are now abusing either their partners or younger siblings, little cousins, things like that. It's because, so the numbers of the sexual offending charities are going high, not because of not so much adults, although they are going higher with adults because of porn, but also now children are massively rising the numbers.
Gosh. So is it the victims that are coming to you then?
Both. Sometimes it's the victims. Girls will come to me and say, I've got anxiety. And then when I talk, when we get into it, got anxiety because maybe they've got a new boyfriend and they might be 15, 19, 29. And when I get to it, it's because, oh, I'm nervous about having sex because I was coerced, but they don't realise they were coerced at the time, into doing either sex or sexual acts before they were mature, before they were ready, and they felt obliged because maybe low self-worth. They think, I need to do this to fit in so he doesn't dump me. Now, obviously, boys can be abused as well, but it is mainly the boys doing it and the girls. So the girls are generally coming because of that. They only realise it after all many years later. And the boys come either because usually a girlfriend or a parent has caught them looking at illegal content and are being concerned and they send them in.
We see this quite predominantly in couples and marriages as well nowadays, where, and this, you know, again, all sorts of marriages from people in their 20s all the way through to 60s, 70s, 80s, where partner has caught that, let's say the wife's caught her husband watching porn. Suddenly for her, that's causing her own self-esteem issues, thinking, well, is it an issue to do with a lack of attraction to me? Is there something wrong with me? When really the addiction quite often doesn't come necessarily from the relationship or any issues there, but more so that's the way that person had learned to regulate stress from years and years before that they just never dealt with. So then that became the way to resolve things in their current relationship.
Yeah. And how does a person know that they're addicted to porn or watching too much porn? You know, I'm sure there's lots of people who are doing it, who have been doing it for many years, that feel that it's a normal part of their lives and doesn't affect them in a negative way.
Yeah, I think it's if they start looking at it several times a day, if they start doing something that's called edging, where they don't look at porn, masturbate, or they'll carry on.
Change of livelihood as well. Quite often when people are substituting, let's say, healthier habits such as, you know, seeing friends, spending time being social, physical activities, when people are substituting that to replace it with a negative habit such as porn, similar to any other addiction really, whether that be drugs, alcoholic, whether it be even things like the gym, any addiction can be overwhelming if done too much, but something when it replaces other healthy balances in their lifestyle.
Wow. Yeah, they become more isolated.
Yeah. It's a fascinating... Sorry, go on.
Sorry. I think with porn as well, what makes it quite challenging to be discussed about it is a behind closed doors addiction, we like to call it. And unlike things such as, you know, if someone has an issue with alcohol or drugs, which are sometimes even, well, dare I say, romanticized by movies as well, and the story of that, things like that are quite often easier to discuss and have more support out there, where porn being a relatively new thing as well, and like I said, behind closed doors in your bedroom, in your own personal space, there isn't that area where you can feel safe to discuss it, to work on the addiction, or even to understand what it is, really.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's why I wanted to get you guys on. I thought it was a really important subject. I think it's great that you've written a book about it, and I'm sure you're getting some great feedback, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, people are saying, oh my God, you know, I didn't realise what an issue it was. Because unlike a packet of cigarettes, there are no warning signs on porn. And it's only when they read the book and they look at all the signs, they can see, and it reduces the shame because they can see why they were either susceptible to watching more porn, maybe neurodiverse, maybe lonely, maybe bored, you know, and then the reliance on it over time becomes a sort of a habit that turns into a compulsion, and then they can't stop.
I think as well, something what you mentioned earlier around some of the new government regulations, or at least here in the UK, around social media usage in younger people. Now, whilst it's fantastic to be, should we say, trying to find ways to prevent negative habits, that's often half the story. You know, for quite a lot of people, they do quite well at stopping an unhealthy habit. But then what replaces it? Because albeit unhealthy, part of their mind associates that with regulation and needing that to be okay. So they can stop the bad habit, but then there's that empty space that they need regulation because, you know, we're humans. We all need to be regulated in some healthy way. So it's finding other and healthy alternatives to become that new source of regulation, that new source to find your self-worth, to understand who you want to be in, really.
Yeah. And you can say that about any addiction, can't you? You can say it with smoking, for example, if people associate having a cigarette every time they drink a cup of coffee or every time they have an alcoholic drink, it's that association that you need to break. And instead of having a cigarette, you can go for a walk or you can put some music on, or it's replacing it with something else. So you're not having your coffee going, this is the moment where I'd normally have a cigarette. And, you know, you have to replace it. That's true with all addictions, isn't it?
Absolutely. And again, the common one with porn then is masturbating before bed. Some people are dysregulated or whatnot, which often helps or prevents us from sleeping well because our mind's racing. What's the way people can escape from your mind racing? Okay, let me focus on something, let me masturbate. And then suddenly they think that'll allow them to sleep, whereas actually no, it just distracts them from that anxiety for that brief moment. And then that habit continues until sometimes you can't go to sleep without masturbating first.
Yeah, read a book. this book, in fact. Oh, great. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, it's called Porn Bomb. It's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Max and Sam Marcham, who we've been chatting with today. Thank you both so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.